This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
The following show may contain adult themes not suitable for children.
Shut the hell up.
Club 1080 with Isaac and Souk.
It does go well with a chicken.
Club 1080 on The Fan is brought to you by Better You Today Weight Loss. Here's to a better you. Embark on your weight loss journey now at betteryoutoday.com. Hit get started today, and here's to a better you.
How and why are you drunk at 6 o'clock?
Well, the how's pretty self-explanatory, and the why is because I thought we were leaving at 6 a.m. tomorrow. Ergo, Latin, plenty of time to sleep it off.
Paul Molitor, I remember having a big long one.
You are?
Who's I? You're 12.
To take a guy that won't be ready to play for at least 4 years. Meow. I was doing a what is those.
They'll still be fine, but especially with the... Excuse me.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Are you okay?
No.
Oh, dear.
Hey-o.
All right, so two shows, very popular shows on TV... are coming back. Is it TV anymore? Do you say that? Or is that like an antiquated
Well, is it network
term?
TV like, or is it Netflix?
No, it's like...
You can still call it TV.
HBO, Hulu. I don't know. What's it called? Streaming? They're coming back to streaming?
I'm going to say TV.
All right, TV. And we'll tell you what those shows are. I think you're going to be excited.
Okay.
But first, now our role here, we have taken on the role of basically just being an outlet... during all of this stuff to, take your mind off things, right?
Sure.
That's what we do.
Hence the fart sounders.
Right.
Thanks, Ian Poulter.
Souk burping. And,
yeah.
And we talk it out. We talk about all this stuff. It can be cathartic. But every once in a while, we like to help out. And this is one, and by help out, I mean in other ways. Because we are helping. We're doing some good here.
We try.
And coming in here trying to...
We don't do the heavy lifting, but, you know...
Right.
Like, we're not lifting the books, but, like, if there's a box full of bedding, sheets and pillows
we'll take
and
that
whatnot,
up.
Yeah.
We'll fill up both hands.
We got you.
Grab a couple lamps.
There you go. A good lamp.
And we like to do that from time to time, and this is one that we thought would be worthy of a club segment. And so we would like to bring on to the air Jim Brumberg. And many of you may know Jim. For his iconic Mississippi Studios in Portland. He owns Rev Hall. And with us now. Yes, we have great music venues here in
Absolutely.
Town. He is with us now. Jim, hello. Can you read us? Do I have Jim?
Oh, yeah. Hey, guys.
Hey,
I read
up?
You.
What's up? Hey.
Oh, you know.
A lot. Yeah.
Jim, your tone says it all.
So...
You don't even ask people how they are anymore. It doesn't make any sense because nobody wants to hear the answer. It's just you just sort of say, what's up? Or,
that is true. And everyone
that's
does
a great
the,
point.
Everyone does the collective. Eh. It's an appropriate response.
I do the, oh, you know.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah, okay. You're right about that. Okay, so Jim is on because we were talking about this the other day. Independent music venues. Look, music, we were just talking about this a couple segments ago. Sports and music and packing people into tight spaces, particularly indoors, it's just not coming back anytime soon. So what do local independent music venues like yours, how are you handling this? How do you get through this?
Oh, man. Well, I'm glad you guys have the fart noise. It's nice to have some humor. We've met each other. We have a lot of Zoom meetings, and we commiserate. But we're sort of hanging in, taking it one step at a time, hoping that, you know, the vaccine makers are making the vaccine, because according to the West Coast governors, it will be that allows us to reopen again. And I can't say that I disagree with that. So we read the news, you know, we listen to you guys. We reschedule things. We have a very busy office staff as we cancel things and reschedule them and move them into 2021. And we think about the future, like way down the line, because we know that it's going to come back, like sports is going to come back. But right now we've got no shows to talk about happening, just like you guys got no sports really to talk about happening. So we plan for the future. We're in it for the long haul, and a couple of music venues are probably going to bite the dust through this, but we're doing all we can to fight for our lives.
Yeah, you think about it. We have so many great. Revolution Hall is an amazing place to go see music, or, you know, the Crystal Ballroom, or, you know, the Albert. I mean, there's just, we have so, Star Theater. We have so many great places around here, but without.
Portland is rocked. Portland is incredible. Yeah. Oregon is incredible. We have the best music venues in the country. And I got into this because I was a touring musician and I wanted there to be another great venue in Portland. And it's, I mean, there's, since we started Mississippi Studios, there's been a bunch of new ones. And a lot of the old ones have held on, and the whole ecosystem here of performance venues for music and for theater is just kick ass. It's an amazing community, and the cultural value of these places and the economic value of these places. That's what brings people out a lot of the time, gets them going to the restaurants, and you know, it's a huge thing in Portland, and we're just hoping that the government sees that as well, because we're asking the government for some help right now, since we were the first to close and we'll be the last ones to reopen. You know, it'll be us and the Pickles fighting for some CRF relief.
Well, you're right in that. I think about so many of the times, you know, my favorite bands, whether they were small and became big or stayed small or middle artists, the first time I saw them in all these different local venues and the first time I went to each one of these, you know, growing up in the area. And it's just such, live music is my absolute favorite thing to do. But for these venues, when you can't have live music, is there a way to make money, or is this just, it is all completely shut down?
Yeah, not yet. Streaming happens, but streaming music is about as exciting as streaming sports in an empty coliseum in which the players can't touch each other. You know, it's like watching people play soccer without, you know, one person at a time on the field, kind of a thing. Streaming is terrible, in my opinion. There's not much that can be done until we're back into our normal way as humans of gathering. It's, you know, you can improvise and you can modify and you can put things together so that you have an innovative streaming program, but there's no money in it for anybody. The artists are getting by on 5 to 10% of what artists were making before, if even that. And that's just tips, and that's out of kindness. We really need to get back to a place where we naturally are standing together and in a sweaty room and enjoying that moment, you know, of really being tight and together and enjoying like a moving experience. And I think that's what is going to, you know, drive us when we reopen and there's some sort of safe way to do it. I think business will be great and people are going to be hungrier than ever to, you know, go out and hear their favorite band like you guys do. And I mean, and go sit next to each other in stadiums and cheer on their favorite team. You know, how long has it been since we've done the wave? It's been forever. You know, there's going to be so much of that, like, oh my God, I can't believe how much I miss this. I can't believe how much I miss, you know, talking to a stranger at the bar and then being able to walk away from that stranger. There's going to be so many things like that.
No question. I couldn't agree more about that. You think back to 9/11 and what sports did to bring us all together after that. And you're right. Concerts and all that is going to be huge, because it is going to be a while. So what can people do in the meantime, Jim? I know you started a website and you have a coalition that you're trying to, you just mentioned a second ago, you're trying to get government to help out. What direct people where they can go and how can they can maybe help you guys out during this time?
Yeah, the Independent Venue Coalition is what we formed. It's all of the venues in Oregon. And what's really cool about Oregon, it's unique. There are no corporate venues in the state of Oregon. There's no Live Nation. There's no AEG. It was going to be, But right now, they've pulled back, and every single venue in the entire state is locally owned and run by a local family, or it's owned by its employees and run by its employees. And so we've got this thing called the Independent Venue Coalition, which covers every venue in the state of Oregon. There's some out on the coast. There's some in southern Oregon and out in the desert where we didn't even know there were venues. We've gotten to know these people, and we are this great community of over 100 music venues. It's all at the Independent Venue Coalition, and it's just independentvenuecoalition.com. Right now we're doing a big state push to try to get a little bit of funding out of the federal funds that were given to the state. And there's instructions on there about how you can write to your representative. It's really easy. It only takes a minute. And, you know, you might hear that people are making it with streaming or takeout orders, and it's just not going to cut it. It's not going to be what helps these venues survive. We need our community and people like you to please write letters to their state representatives in support of this funding. We call it life support for venues. It's mm-hmm. like putting all these venues on ventilators until there's a vaccine, basically. Right.
And I would encourage everyone. I mean, I just think music is such a big part of society. And like I said, it's a huge part of my life. And I think back, whether I was a kid, my first time seeing Social Distortion when I was 14 years old, it was a life-changing experience for me. And here I am, 30 plus years later, still one of my favorite bands. The first time I saw Ben Harper in Portland, and I saw Jack Johnson with Ben Harper.
NSYNC.
NSYNC and Britney Spears. I remember wandering into a place and seeing Fiona Apple, and I had no idea who she was, this skinny little girl playing the piano, and, you know, blew my head off. There's just
She's a firehouse.
There's so
Your musical
many,
taste has changed quite a bit.
There's just so – I can appreciate so much, and it's just these small little venues – and not just the venues too, but these artists, you know, that aren't millionaires. It's not Beyonce, it's not Jay-Z, it's not Metallica, you know, that there's just such an industry here. And I just think it would be an absolute shame if a year from now we look back on this and such a great part of my life and the history of Portland was erased because these places can't stay open.
Yeah, I agree 100%. And I think we are going to stay open. I think we're going to make it, but it's going to involve us beseeching and cajoling our subscribers and our fans and your fans to please, you know, engage and get active. And right now, nobody's asking for money or anything like that. There might be some crowdfunding stuff down the line, depending on how long this stuff goes on. Right now, we're really just hoping that, I mean, venues can get a little bit of help from the government, because the PPP didn't work for venues. That was designed for businesses like retail and places that were closed for 8 weeks. Venues are closed, you know, just like sports. They're closed until there's a vaccine, basically.
Yeah, and it's not that it's forgotten, because it's very important and everybody loves it, but it does kind of slip through the cracks. Like everybody, it feels like the restaurant workers and stuff were all really front and center. It's like, you got to take care of these people, but nobody really ever talked about music venues and the people.
Well, I think there's an idea that the music venues and the artists and everything, that everyone's, you know, millionaires and they're going to be fine. Mm-hmm. And it's just, it's not the case with small independent venues and small independent artists.
All right. Independent Venue Coalition and
.com.
Okay. And then also voicevenues.com is one as well.
Yeah. It just goes to the same place.
Okay.
The idea that venue owners and venue operators are like waiting this out on their yachts. No,
right.
They're not. They got I've had my hand up in every toilet at Mississippi Studios, basically just fixing things and trying to take advantage of the time to make sure it's all ready to go and everything when we reopen. But now we're very, very hands-on, scrappy bunch. That's why we don't have a trade association or lobbyists or anything like that. Restaurants, I have so much empathy and sympathy for what restaurants are going through also, and I wish all of them the best, but at the same time, they have a lot of lobbyists, and they're a very large organization.
Mm-hmm.
Venues, like I said, in the entire state, there's only about 100 venues. So
yeah, it's a good point. Well, we appreciate you coming on and spreading the word, and again, I want to tell our listeners, it's independentvenuecoalition.com, and there's a lot of things you can read up on and ways to help on there. Jim, thank you so much. We appreciate you.
Thank you guys so much. We'll see you out there at a game or a show.
You got it. Thanks, dude. He's the owner of Mississippi Studios and Rev Hall. Thought that was important to get out there because I do think it does kind of slip through the cracks. People don't think about that.
No, we have such a cool, like I said, a music vibe here, from the really small ones to the you know, the large ones. He said Mississippi Studios to the Wonder Ballrooms to the Star Theaters to the Crystal Ballrooms.
Bossa Nova.
Yeah, Roseland. Yeah. And I've seen some of my favorite artists have come through there. And I'm just such a big believer in live music and what it can do to bring people together. And
how about that hot nugget that there's not one corporate venue in Oregon?
It's all just
corporate owned venue in Oregon.
Yeah, either family run or independent.
So, and he's so right about the kind of the social value of that.
Yep.
It feeds with the restaurants and like just our scene. It's such a big part of Portland.
Yeah. Well, and again, whether it's, you know, whether you're a metal fan like Mike or you like, you know, jazz or you like rap or whatever, who can't remember going to a random concert and walking out of there being like, okay, well, that guy's going to be big, or that's going to become one of my favorite artists. And I just, my life has been full of those moments and all these kind of different genres. And remember going with, whether it was with my brother or going with my wife or going with my family or friends. And I don't know, I just think music can really, like sports, I think it's kind of one and the same. They can really leave a stamp on the passport of your life. And it would be an absolute shame if we lost part of that. Cause I think it's what, along with the food scene and the beer scene and all that, like you said, what did you say? It's kind of our calling card, or it's part of the fabric of who we are.
All right, sir. Let's get down to nitty gritty. We got Carl Reiner passing away. We loved Carl here.
Well, I think everyone did.
Dear friend of our program, Carl Reiner.
98, though, that's a celebration, not a, it's not sadness.
And we got two shows returning to TV that I think you'll like. So that those items coming up next on The Fan.
Better You. Embark on your weight loss journey now at betteryoutoday.com. Hit get started today, and here's to a better you.
Can I get a hot tub?
All right, now to promised entertainment news. Carl Reiner has passed. He was 98.
Yeah, which again, at 98, no one shed a tear, no one be sad. That's a high five and a hell of a run.
Yeah, you're not supposed to say gun down in his prime.
No, that was not one of those. He's gone too soon. Why, Lord, why? No, that's 98 great freaking years. Fist bump for making it to the end, my man.
He was greatness. He was greatness, Carl Reiner. Dick Van Dyke. Many of you may remember him from Ocean's 11.
Yeah, all those Ocean's 11 are now Ocean's 13. He did all those Steve...
He has a great role in those movies.
All the Steve Martin movies, The Jerk, The Man with Two Brains. He wrote and directed those. The Mel Brooks comedy teams. The Dick Van Dyke Show, which my mom watched growing up on
Nick
at Night. I
watched that show. That show was great.
Yep. He also did... I knew he was in both of these, but I never put them together. Two of my great like 80s movies... He did Summer School and Summer Rental with Mark Harmon and then John Candy.
God, I loved Summer School.
I know. I didn't know that he, because he plays the principal or whatever, he wins the scratch-off ticket. I know he had a bit role in that, but I didn't know he wrote that and directed it.
You know what his greatest claim to fame is, though?
I asked you that. I was like, what is he most known for?
Yeah, I think it's Dick Van Dyke, but maybe not. Maybe that was too long ago.
I would have...
I mean,
it's probably a good question. It's an age thing. Whatever you...
The Jerk? I mean, but how many people... See, yeah.
The Jerk is probably... If I had to look through everything he did, The Jerk for me is probably the one that I would hold on to. Because that movie gets me every time.
Yeah. It's going to be an age thing because he's been around a long time.
That's Iron Balls McGinty. How are you supposed to know that that's Iron Balls McGinty?
So he was married to the same woman for 64 years.
Is she? I'm assuming she passed before he.
Yeah, she died.
Okay.
But that's crazy. Dude, he got married in 1943. And they were married all the way until 2008.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
That's cool.
That is super cool. Her name was Estelle.
Estelle Reiner. Of course it was.
Carl and Estelle Reiner.
Yeah, find someone that was married 64 years. Ah, that's going to be Estelle.
Her name was Gladys.
And then, of course, the 2,000-year-old man, that bit, Mel Brooks, is probably another one that
he
gets known for.
His buddies with Mel. And...
Well, they're a great comedy team. And then, of course, his son, Rob Reiner, is a legend in his own right. Let's just say that if you're in the Reiner family, you got some good genes.
I feel like Rob Reiner's insufferable. Like,
really?
If he came over to your house for a drink, I think he would be insufferable.
No.
Yes.
Rob Reiner is greatness, too.
Oh, no, I know he's greatness, but I just think he's insufferable.
You think he's insufferable?
Yeah.
In fact, I mean, I don't think it's much of an argument, because as great as Carl Reiner is, if you want to go resume, Rob Reiner's is... Reiner's is better.
Can't argue that.
No, it's an his is unbelievable.
And as if 2020 could get any worse, Hulu has pulled Golden Girls.
Now, I saw this, that someone's claiming that it was blackface, and other people are saying they just were wearing mud masks.
I don't know. I didn't even see why. I just saw it and started crying.
I don't know.
Uncontrollably.
I could be wrong, because I did not delve deep into the Golden Girls story. I just was kind of surface skimming. I thought I saw that a episode of Golden Girls was pulled because supposedly they were in blackface, and people were saying, no, they were just wearing mud masks.
Blackface concerns, it says.
Yes. So this is, if you want to know where the line should be drawn, it's this. The Golden Girls wore mud masks, and people were saying that that may be considered blackface?
Come on, Rue McClanahan's not putting on blackface.
No.
She's greatness. Betty White's not putting on blackface.
I certainly wouldn't. I wouldn't hope so. Or I would hope so.
Wait.
I would hope that not. They didn't
right.
do that.
Would hope not. And then the two shows that are coming back that I wanted to tell you guys about. One is, now, did you watch Ozark?
I am in the middle of watching Ozark.
You're still watching Ozark?
Still watching it.
Are you to season three yet?
No, I am not to season three.
Okay.
It is starting to lose a little steam for me, though, I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, keep going.
I'm getting annoyed.
Well, it's just the same thing over and over.
I know, but it bothers me that I said this at the beginning. It bothers me that the hillbilly white trash small-time meth dealers somehow they aren't worried about or have more influence than the third largest Mexican drug cartel. That bothers me.
There's an easy answer to that. If you would just listen to me. I've told you this before. The easy answer to that is the cartels really aren't paying attention. They only check in from time to time. And you will see in season three, oh, do they check in?
Okay. Well, then I need some...
That's a tease.
I need some retribution from the cartels, because frankly, they seem very soft right now.
Ozark is on HBO, I think, right? HBO? I never remember.
Ozark's just on...
What is it on? Netflix? What's Ozark on?
I think it's on Amazon. I don't know.
I think you're right.
It's a streaming one.
We'll keep naming them, and then we'll have the one that it's on.
It's on one of those, but I don't know. It's not on a network.
Yeah, it's Netflix.
Yeah, Netflix. Okay.
So they have re-upped for a fourth season, but it's their final season. They're
good.
Going away. And Ozark, by the way, is the one with Jason Bateman, and he plays Marty Bird, and he's basically a money launderer for the cartels, and he's doing it through the Lake of the Ozarks.
Yeah, it's kind of people view it as a Breaking Bad sort of.
Yeah, and it's good, but it's like season four should be the end, because it's the same thing over and over. It's just how he gets out of
every jam.
All of his jams with the cartels and stuff.
And this is my
thing. But it's really good, and Jason Bateman's great in it, and all of the actors and actresses are great in it, and that is 100%. What the Ozarks are like.
Yeah.
I can tell you that. I can tell you that firsthand.
I'm thinking about moving there myself.
Ruthie,
like I would do well.
She is spot on.
Yeah. I do enjoy that there's an end. I think far too often series drag on. And this is why I said I have always liked movies better than TV series. Or at least limited run TV series. Like when they do True Detective or American Horror Story. Fargo did this. I think far too often people say, well, in TV shows, you can really expand the universe and go in depth. But I think far too often it just drags on. And what should Ozark, you could have done and when this is done, I bet you could do it in 12 episodes. 12 episodes, you could have tied this into a great little ball and had no filler. But now what happens with these TV series is we just have to extend them on and on and on and on and on. And so you have entire, like, seasons, see Game of Thrones, where you have, like, 12 episodes that are just pointless. And they're like, well, it's a check, so we throw it out there, and it does
nothing.
Well,
that's more because the writers were horrific.
It does nothing to move the plot along.
We've had this conversation before. We don't need to have it again. I totally disagree with that. But, yes, there is an end. This is perfect. Four seasons of this is perfect. Because you'll see in season three, dude, that show is good.
Yeah.
And so they're going to end it at season four, but it's going to be a supersized season. So they said it's 14 episodes, and they'll do two sets of seven to close out the Bird family and their life of crime. The other show that's coming back for an 11th season is Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Now that is greatness. Because Curb, to me, has not run out of ideas.
No.
They just keep... It just gets better and better.
Can you imagine Larry David tackling COVID?
COVID and the Black Lives Matter stuff?
Oh, my God, yes.
It's going to be so uncomfortable, but it's going to be greatness. Leon and Larry tackling the Black Lives Matter protest with COVID going on. If any man can do this and have it be inappropriate but funny and somehow... like make it work, it's gonna be Larry David in that show.
So Curb, this will be the 11th season, and Larry's quote is the best. He says, "Believe me, I'm as upset about this as you are. One day I can only hope that HBO will come to its senses and grant me the cancellation I so richly deserve." So that, it doesn't say when, but they're gonna get started on that. I assume they would.
I don't think anything's in production right now.
But maybe not.
Yeah, everything's on pause. Like, they're not, like, it's the weird, because I think movie theaters are going to start opening up here, like, in
when are they gonna show?
In the middle of July. But, yeah, there's no movies. Like, no studios are making movies, and no one wants to release anything right now. All the good stuff has been delayed until either, like, the holiday season or next year. So, I think you're either going to get, like, old movies, or you're going to get the crap that the studio knows is going to suck. And so, they're like, here. Like, this thing was going to bomb. Here's a Travolta film that was going to bomb, so watch this.
Well, surely they can get going sometime within the next couple of months?
One would hope.
Filming things?
Maybe
not.
Again, if we're going to say that, like, sports and
concerts... Not in L.A. L.A.'s just getting...
Yeah.
I mean...
Well, when you talk about large gatherings inside confined spaces and, well...
Yeah.
And how do you shoot? You can't wear masks and... You know,
they do the sex scene CGI, I heard. Seriously.
What?
That's what they're going to do.
Really?
Yeah.
Like, if you need if you need to get close, you're just going to, like, make out with a green doll and then superimpose it on top of it?
That's right. It'd be nice to Kermit.
It's quite interesting.
Yeah. They said they're going to use CGI to avoid COVID-19 transmission as filming resumes. Well, at least in Hollywood, they were talking about filming resuming June 12th. They've had a bunch of cases down there, so I'm not sure where that stands now. But
how's the porno industry doing? Can you work throughout this, or is all that shut down as well?
I guess there's only what,
12?
12 people in a scene, so you can test before, right? They're already testing for all the STDs constantly. What's the COVID test?
Threesomes and foursomes are fine. The gang activity and the orgies has had. Sorry, guys. Orgies off today. Can't do it.
So
too many people.
In Hollywood, they said that casting directors and actors will be able to resume auditions, but they will be behind plexiglass.
Going to be in the penalty box?
There will need to be coronavirus compliance officers in attendance during shoots and auditions.
2 minutes spitting.
And sex scenes will be CGI.
I'm so
and rewrites.
I am so on board with a CGI sex scene. I would like that's gonna be slightly awkward.
You know
but,
what else they're
let's
saying?
Let's do this.
What else they're saying about anything that was made in 2020 or maybe even 2021? They're saying that a lot of the movies that will come out of this period, once they do start refilming, if they are shooting things down there right now, it will all be sanitized because they will simply cut a lot of the sex scenes out of them.
Really?
Yeah, because they're just like, we don't want to film this part of it, so we'll just cut that out.
Well, that's disappointing.
I'm not watching.
Yeah, so no gratuitous boob in movies in 2020.
Is anyone else besides
me? So then what
me?
Is porn doing?
Yeah, I don't know what porn's up to.
Probably porning.
Isn't there enough porn out there for everyone? Like, if one thing were to shut down for, like, a year and no new material, sports, entertainment, all that, wouldn't porn be the one least affected? Isn't there enough porn out there for everyone?
Well, what about the porn workers who would not be getting paid for scenes?
Well, I understand that they would be hurt. But is there anyone out there right now, honestly, that has that much of a problem where they're like...
Need some new porn.
This is ridiculous. I've seen everything that's out there. There's nothing new.
Did you see the thing going around the internet today?
Oh, the guy that ranked?
Yeah, the guy that ranked 370 porn stars.
Some random dude on Twitter, and he didn't give any explanation. He just said, here's the definitive list, mic drop. And he just listed in like 20 tweets, he just went 1 to 370. I don't know why 370, but he ranked the best 370 porn stars of all time, and then walked away.
Who's Mrs. Irrelevant?
I don't know.
Oh, I don't remember.
I didn't see.
You can't drop a list like that on us. I mean,
yeah,
come on.
But what?
That's just a list of
he
names.
Had some he had some doubles on
Who's
there.
Who's number one? It used to be Jenna Jameson was like
was,
the most famous.
Mia Malkova was number one.
Who's that? Should I have well, to? Am
you,
I going to have to?
You can Google her
you're
if you'd like.
Am I going to have to do this?
You're going to have to work a Google there.
What's her name?
Mia Malkova.
But really? Like, who
number
is,
one, huh?
Who is sitting around right now being like, that's it. I got nothing better to do. Mm. This needs to be done. 370, go.
How much time do you think he put into that? Like, did he just, like, type it up in an hour? Or did he put months and months of research?
Well, I can't imagine. Well, I'm... Look,
that's what I'm saying. Like, you can't... You have to show... If you're going to do a list like that, you have to show your work. You have to tell us...
Give us some sources.
Yeah, there's no way to know if he just threw names, 370 names down, or if he really put in the time and effort.
Like, he's a connoisseur. He's like, I've seen every one of these films.
Maybe he links his favorite of each
or just write a little blurb. Mm. Showing us that you know what you're talking about.
That
very flexible.
Now, I will tell you that the other night I was sitting around and on Showtime, the AVN Awards, the Adult Video News Award, there is an actual award show. I sat down and watched that. I'm telling you, that's one of the best hours of entertainment you'll ever see. And it has nothing.
I didn't realize they aired that on any sort of television.
I didn't either.
I just knew that it happened in
Vegas.
It
was the whole thing. And there's nothing really. There's actually very little nudity, believe it or not. It's just, but you can't take your eyes off of it. The excitement that these people show for winning.
Rob,
and
there is a window behind you.
And
just remember.
Some of the categories, it's unbelievable.
Show research.
And by the way, I found out that I kid you not, the guy who was the male like performer of the year, his name is Small Hands. I kept like I was reading like they would like do the nominees and Small Hands was nominated for everything and that's what he goes by, Small Hands.
If you want to have a good time, go so that they always do that show or that the AVN Awards that you're talking about. They film that in Vegas.
Yeah.
And I think they usually are all at the Hard Rock.
Yeah, there's
what
like
I
think there's like a convention around it because they were doing like little bits out on the floor.
Oh yeah, there's a whole convention, there's a whole thing. Go during that, you will have a blast.
Actually, go to the AVNs or just go to Vegas when it's happening.
No, you don't have to go to the awards. Just go be around the Hard Rock when they're all there. And I guess it's just something else.
Boy, if you're watching Showtime and that thing comes on, just sit down and buckle up and get ready for this. And dare I say this, when did porn stars become horrifically ugly?
What?
Like, I'm telling you, it was the weirdest thing. Like, and I am not up on my newfangled porn stars.
Okay.
I did not know many of the people that were up for awards. These were all kind of new. In my mind, porn stars were hot, right? Like there's that you have that image in your head. I'm telling you, we're watching this award show, and the people that were up there, the gals, it's a.
Well, there's a lot of makeup involved, right?
Yeah, it's a rough. It was a rough bunch. I was quite frankly like when one popped up and you were like, "Whoa, look at that! That was like an outlier." It was it wasn't so good.
Well, best new starlet is Holly Hendricks. She won.
What side are you on, Rob?
I need to know what I'm talking about here.
Show research. Look up my man Small Hands. By the way, the crowd went nuts. When Small Hands won, everyone loved him. Everyone.
Oh, they have MILF Performer of the Year.
Yeah.
Kendra Lust.
Some of the categories were so great, and the gals were up there. One of them thanked her parents. I was like, what? And then the other best part is all the names of the films that they're in for, like, best whatever. The names are just amazing. Like, insert the most inappropriate thing you can think, and then, like, volume number 29. And I can't tell you how many times the joke were like, yeah, you know, 27 and 28 didn't do anything for me, but 29, really, really solid effort. Sharp production, everyone.
It doesn't have a film of the year. I wanted to hear what the, you know?
Yeah, I think it was all individual categories.
I love how distracted you've become, Rob.
What? Well, just, you know. Making sure I get my facts right.
Yeah, show research.
Film.
I'm surprised the site you were just on wasn't blocked.
It will be after this.
They can't block us. We have stuff to do.
All I know is they broadcast that thing on Showtime, and I highly recommend it. It is a good hour's worth of television. You will laugh. You will cry.
Ooh, gotta go.
You got distracted. It's okay.
All right. All right. Here's Mike.
To all the sinners.
Club 1080 on the Fan is brought to you by Better You Today Weight Loss. Here's to a better you. Embark on your weight loss journey now at betteryoutoday.com. Hit get started today, and here's to a better you.
Double Sun Power!
So you were discussing a guy who ranked porn stars?
Yeah, 370 of them, and what he claims is the definitive ranking.
Well, Mia Malkova was number one, and so we started cyber-stalking her.
Yeah, I didn't know who that was, but apparently Lynch did.
I didn't either, but she's obviously, you know, she's a hot.
Yeah,
she's
very hot.
She's talented.
So Mike goes on her Twitter like a creep. And he found that she actually lives in Oregon.
Yeah, she just moved into a log cabin.
Out near Mount Hood.
Out near Mount Hood.
Yeah, it says, and she shows a video of it, and it is like your traditional log cabin. And she says, still moving in, waiting on furniture, right on a river near Mount Hood National Forest.
I'm not so certain you want to be, like, if you're a porn star, I'm not so certain if you want to be putting that out to your creeper fans. You got a lot of people wandering around the forest right now trying to match up the photos.
Well, I was looking through the replies.
Yeah.
And there's not a bunch of them, but there are a few that are like, Hey, show us more of the view.
Yeah.
We want to see what exactly that river looks like.
Yeah, could you tell us the GPS coordinates? I'm just interested in seeing the curvature of the earth and where you're at.
Some guy's like, I dream of you every night. God, could you imagine being a porn star and these creeps?
No.
God.
No.
I dream of you every night?
Exactly.
That's what he said.
I'll bet you that if you looked at
you should see his avatar.
If you looked at a DM on an Instagram or a Twitter page of an adult actress, or even like an Instagram model, you like one of the, that it's not maybe full nude, but you know, that's all they do is post like semi-nude photos. I'll bet you that if whatever faith you had in humanity would immediately exit stage right. If you saw that, I just, but then again, I mean, you are making your living, you know, you're peddling that. So
fun fact, her brother is a porn actor.
Is it Small Hands?
Runs in the family. So,
do you think their parents are? Like, I'm being dead serious about this because I would like to believe that I would support my daughters in just about anything, right? I'm a progressive sort of fellow. Whatever you want to do, hey, knock yourself out. But boy, what do you think, dear old mom and dad? I mean, like, and she's obviously a big deal, right? If that dude's ranking her number one and she has made a career out of this and probably makes a good living. If you're mom and dad, are you proud? Are you?
Well, they're successful.
Yeah, right? I mean,
you got that.
Like when you're like playing bridge out with, you know, Milge in the gang, you know, you're out there with the olds, you and Estelle, and they're like, what's Mia up to? And you're like, well, you know, still fornicating on film and living up in Mount Hood, doing great. I don't know what to, like, and if you're the dad, like, that's out there. Like, every one of your friends, that's out there. That's got to be a bit awkward. I wouldn't know how that goes down. And how many dads have found out about that in the worst possible way?
Like coming across it?
Yeah. Right? you happen to stumble upon that one day. Whoops. You know.
Yeah. I hope that doesn't happen, but I'm sure it did.
I'm sure somewhere along the way that happens.
All right. We got to run. John will wrap up our show next on The Fan.
This is Mailing It In with Big John Sakanik on 1080 The Fan.
Okay, another Tuesday showdown, COVID cast number 79, if you can believe that. Here's John. Hello.
Hey, maybe I could be 79 COVID cast 79 guy instead of 79 days till Cougar football guy.
No, that is true.
Wait.
I mean, while you were gone, some BYU thing was doing a countdown of their, they were voting on the best number for each player to ever play at BYU. Oh. And so we made sure that 68 was dominated by me. I think I won with 98% of the vote. And John was saying that every year Washington State football does a countdown to Cougar football starting at like 99. Mm. And he's actively been lobbying to be number 79 and then put his picture up like on Twitter, but they haven't done it.
You know those things, Rob, where they're like 84 days till Cougar football, and then they show some guy that wore number 84. Have you seen those?
Yeah.
I want to be the 79 days till Cougar football guy. I think I've earned it. I don't think there's anybody out there more qualified than I am to be 79 days till Cougar football guy. I've openly submitted my intentions to them, whoever runs that website, and I have been rebuffed with extreme prejudice. So when I saw what the power of your fine show did for my brother's attempt to be the greatest number 68 in BYU football history, he dominated. I think next fall we're going to turn the power of the program and try to get me. I don't want to be the best. I just want to be 79 days till Cougar football guy.
Who else was on the 68 list?
We looked. There was no one of – we just determined that there wasn't many great number 68s. Like, none of them that I had heard of. No one, was any of great significance. But either way, I completely dominated the vote, mainly because I have a radio show and they don't. So suck it, David Oswald.
The best is when we found out about it, Rob. He was winning. Jay was winning with, 65% of the vote. But there were, 50 total votes. And we talked about it for a segment. And within, 20 minutes, there was, 600 votes. And he was at, 92%.
What was this on?
It was just some BYU, I don't know, some BYU fan page or whatever. And they were doing this where they were ranking. They were doing a vote on the best player to ever wear each number.
How pissed would you have been if they did number 68 and you weren't even on there?
Right.
You just don't exist. What?
Well, I wanted one of the other one of the other guys was a lineman in the 70s, and I was thinking what if he checked the computer and was hey, I have 40% of the vote, and then he went out to cut the grass and he came back in unbeknownst to him, and then he looks and he's behind by 95%. He's like, what happened? What did I do?
I did end up winning the vote. David Oswald had 1.3%, Jim Edwards 1.5, Rob Buchanan 1.2, Jason Sukanik 96.
Wait, how does anybody know you were better than Jim Oswald?
96% of the people knew I was
that
better.
That is so close.
Suck
it, dominated
Rob.
It.
Boom! 96%, and by the way, I'm
your vote dropped. It was at almost 99.
Yeah, someone got on for the others and voted. And by the way, I do believe so far that this is the biggest landslide victory of any of the numbers.
Totally,
I'm scrolling through.
Yeah, so I don't want to be the best 79, Rob. That's not what I'm shooting for. I'm setting my sights a little low. I just want to be 79 days till Cougar football guy.
All right. I heard you won the virtual World Series or something.
I don't want to talk about it with my brother because he's an ass. But
you're a cheap bastard.
Oh. Yeah. I did win the PlayStation 2019, the show World Series with my beloved Mariners.
Whatever, Houston Astros, enjoy your tainted title that no one recognizes.
Hey, here's what we're doing. I don't know how you deal with it, Rob.
I don't either. And by the way, that... I don't know what that is that you just said that you won, but I don't believe you should be proud of it.
I'm only proud of it because I played all 162 games in the season on video game baseball. Yeah. And that,
even worse,
that is a labor of love.
All right, have a good night.
And you cheated.
All right, you guys.
There he goes. All right, guys. Great Tuesday broadcast.
The greatest 68 in BYU history, according to 96% of the voters, think so as well.
Not even close.
No. Absolute landslide victory.
You're amazing. All right. We got to go. We're back tomorrow, 3 to 7 on The Fan tonight.
Red Chips of Spain. Red Chips of Spain.
Paul Molitor, I remember having a big long one.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.